And invite you to take on a posture of prayer as we invite the Holy Spirit to open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive the whisper of your voice, O Lord, to hear the message that you have prepared today, and to glean a nugget or two from this love letter from you to us called the Bible. May the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips be pleasing to you. Amen. As I stated earlier, we're in week three of our sermon series, Advent Study on the Book of Sent. And today we'll be focusing on Jesus with us. Our text today comes from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, which reads, "Look, the virgins shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed. I wanted to share with you that in our book study, our chapter focus this week is Jesus is with us through everything, every trial, every tribulation, every joy. Jesus is with us. Which means this, Jesus meets us where we are at. Can you pause for a moment and remember or recall the first time that you met Jesus? Maybe it was when you were on a youth retreat or a summer camp or a Bible study or a mountaintop or a beautiful sunset. Or maybe it was at a funeral home or in a hospital room. Or maybe you haven't met him yet. Are you open to that? Jesus meets us where we are at, no matter where we are at. I want you to think for a moment the woman he met at the well, a woman trying to find that one thing that would make her complete in relationships, failed relationship after failed relationship after failed relationship. She had a thirst, and Jesus said, "I give you water so that you will thirst no more." He acknowledged that she was looking in the wrong places for the thing that could sustain her. And he gave her her peace, his peace. And she went back to her family and to her community and shared what she had found at the well and in Jesus Christ. Or how about the blind beggar Jesus met who restored his sight, a physical limitation, and Jesus met him where he was at. Or how about the demon-possessed man who lived at the graveyard? Jesus even meets him there. How many of you know somebody who might be demon-possessed? Jesus still has the power to meet and release from the captivity of sickness and health. Or think about the two content fishermen that Jesus met. They were running the family business. Their future was planned out for them. They were doing okay. They were mending their nets. And Jesus says, "Drop your nets and follow me. I will make you fishers of men." He gave them a new vision and a new way of living, an adventure of a lifetime. Or how about this, an ambitious tax collector caught up in materialism, and Jesus says, "Follow me. I will give you more than this life has to offer." Hence, we get the Gospel of Matthew. Even you, Jesus can still meet today. That's why I love Psalm 139 that says, no matter where we go, God is there. If we go to the highest mountain, God is there. The lowest valley, God is there. Even the depths of the ocean or even hell itself, God is there. There is no place we can go to be out of his reach. Jesus is our compass in a lost world. We no longer have to be lost. We can find the way, the path, and the truth and the life found in Jesus. Jesus is with us in even pain. John 11 says this, "Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but while it was still there at the place where Martha had met him, and the Jews were going with her in the house, consoling her, they saw Mary get up, go quickly out, and they followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, 'Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus began to weep." Jesus is even in the midst of our pain. C.S. Lewis says this about pain, that we can ignore even pleasure, but pain itself, pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasure, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I try to always give you a story, a real life story that actually happened, so that you can know that the Bible is relevant today. This is one of those stories, a story of a woman that I had to work with to bury her daughter. Her daughter was 38 years old. She had lived a good life. She had got married early on and had a flourishing roofing business. And somewhere along the way, she was in an automobile accident, which she broke her back. And through the healing process, she had become addicted to painkillers, which led to addiction to higher drugs like heroin. As a result of this addiction, she lost her marriage. She lost her business. She lost her home. At one point, she was living on the streets, and she was stealing from all of her relatives. She eventually got caught and found herself in jail. And after 6 months of being in jail, she became clean. And upon release, her and her mom reunited, and they decided to go for a nature walk in one of the metro parks. It was a beautiful, crisp fall day, and they enjoyed the beauty that surrounded them. The colors had changed, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And when they got back home from the walk, 20 minutes later, the mom found her daughter in the bathroom, not alive anymore. She had had a heart attack. Her body couldn't sustain, because of all the damage the drugs had done to her system, her body couldn't sustain the elevated heart rate that the walk had produced. And in the midst of the counseling and grief, I asked this mom, "What seems to be bringing you such peace?" And she said, "Oh, Pastor, I will never, ever forget the walk we had. It was such a beautiful moment when my daughter shared with me that she had accepted Jesus Christ in prison, and that was the healing moment that caused her to give up drugs. She may not have been healed here in this world, but she is healed in the presence of Jesus now, and that gives me peace. Because you see, Jesus is with us even in our pain." Next, Jesus is with us even in uncertainty and fear. Isaiah 41:9, verses 9 and 10 say this, You are my servant, my chosen. I have chosen you not to cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you." Jesus would go on to say those exact words to his disciples before he left. Fear not, for I am with you always, Jesus says, and God affirms. Do not fear, for I am with you always. This is another story that I've shared with this congregation in the past, but some of you weren't here, so I get the pleasure of sharing it again. I was a chaplain at the Cleveland Clinic for about 4 months, and I received a page to do a chaplaincy visit. And I walked into the room, kind of bouncing. I was in a really good place, and I walked in, and there was a patient and her sister. The patient was in bed. The sister was beside her bed, and they were embracing and crying. And I mean, it was one of those cries that was, tears were everywhere, and snot was like just, you know what I mean? Have you ever experienced one of those cries? And immediately I had this sense of panic come over me. What did I get into? And it turns out that the patient had gone to the clinic because she was having blurred vision in her one eye. It turns out they had to remove her eye because there was a tumor behind the eye. And in removing the tumor, they found that it was a rare brain cancer, a very aggressive brain cancer. There was nothing that they could do. And they had given her 6 months to live. And I thought, oh dear Lord, what can I do? How can I serve you today? And she said, Chaplain, I just don't know what to do. You see, I have a set of 4-year-old twins at home and a 10-year-old. I don't know how to talk to them or tell them what's going on. I don't know how to let them know that I'm not going to be here forever. And I didn't know what to do. I said, the only thing that I can think of is I could only tell you what I would attempt to do in a situation like that. I said, I had a seminary project due in when I was in seminary, and I was getting ready to go to Israel for 5 weeks. It was the first time I was ever going to be away from my son and my wife. And I thought, what if I don't come back? And so I created an audiobook, 20 chapters to tell my son everything I wanted to tell him, things of in words of encouragement, how to hunt, how to play, how to interact with people. I said there was even a chapter on women. It was the shortest chapter in the book. Still being written. And in that moment, she began to have hope again. In that moment, the fear and anxiety started to decrease. Tell me more, she said. And then she goes, you know, I can make a video book. And I said, well, you could. However, if you make a video book, your children will just see your disease. But if you make an audio book, your children will hear your love. In a moment, we prayed. In a moment, she had hope again, because in an uncontrollable situation, she regained some sense of control. She believed, and I quote, Jesus is with me in this place. He is in with us. He is all in, even in our pain, even in our anxiety, even in our fear. Jesus is with us. Jesus is God with us in waiting, too. Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6 say this, and whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's okay to wait. Jesus will be there with you in the waiting. Sometimes we have to be alone in the waiting. I'm reminded of yet another story. A story of a gentleman who I admire and respect. a gentleman who I could see the very essence of Jesus in everything that he did. He had been married and had two beautiful daughters, and to his surprise, his wife came home one day and said, "I want a divorce. There's another man." And so they split. And this man went through divorce care, a grief program for those who are going through divorce. And he said it was in that program that he experienced the love and peace of Christ. And he heard the whisper of God saying, "I will be with you in the waiting. It'll take time, but I have someone for you. Just wait." And so the years went by. And what was so striking about this man and his trust in God was that he maintained a level of friendship that was beyond my understanding with his ex-wife. He had built a relationship with her new husband for the sake of their girls, so that the girls would not know the damage of divorce, but the joy of having parents that loved them. 18 years would go by. He is now in a beautiful Christian relationship, one promised to him from God. In talking with him, he would say to you, "Jesus was with me in the waiting. I never doubted. I never looked. And when the timing was right, God showed up." Jesus is with us in our times of joy. John 16 says this, "When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world." As a mother of a teenager now, I go back to that scripture and show it to my wife all the time. Wasn't it a joy to have Kaylin up here telling her story with that bundle of joy in Zach's arms behind him, just carrying on? I think one of the most joyful events in life is the birth of a child. For me, it was the birth of our son. It was such an awe-striking moment that the doctors and the nurses had to say, "Dad, go say hi to your son." Like, I had to pick up my jaw off the floor and like, "What? What did you just call me? Dad, yeah, you're a dad now. Go and say hi to your son. So I walk over to that little preparation table or cubicle or whatever it is, and bassinet, that's probably what it is. And Anthony is on his side, facing away from me, being attended to by the nurse, and I'm just in awe. And the nurse reminds me yet again, "Daddy, say hi to your son." Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm here for. Bada bing. That's what I called him. And he turned his head and looked up at me. He recognized my voice. I am telling you, Jesus was with us in that moment. God is with us in our joys. Aren't you glad that God is with us in our pain, in our suffering, in our fear, in our anxiety, and in our joy? God is with us day in and day out. Even when we seem to be at a point so low where we don't feel that we could be reached or touched by anyone, Jesus is there because he's got a signal no matter where we are. Amen? And so the point of our whole Sent series is this, as found in Matthew 5. Jesus says that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Just as Jesus was sent at a perfect time to be the light of the world to all people, he leaves that light with us. So then we can be the light to others. I am telling you, there are people out there that don't know the love of Jesus, that don't know the hope of Jesus, that don't know that Jesus can meet them in their pain and their fear and their anxiety and even in their joy. That Jesus can give them a joy beyond any material thing that they can imagine. We're getting ready to have Christmas soon. And if you really know the truth about that special morning, the truth is this, that when the wrapping paper is tore off and the box is open and the initial yeehaw is said, moments later, the statement comes up, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Aren't you glad to know the answer to that question? Yes, there is so much more. I encourage you to be the light of Christ this season, especially this season. Would you pray with me? God of our hopes and dreams, God of ever-present being, we know and trust that you are with us in every situation that we face, in every longing that we have, every hurt that we feel, every joy that we celebrate, every fear that we feel, every anxiety that we experience, you are there. Awakening us an awareness of your presence in our lives so that our joy may not be stolen away but may be celebrated. And as we celebrate that joy, that we would become the light of the world to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.